Praise the Lord. Praise the King of Kings. It is a privilege and a honor to share the word today. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we bless your holy name. Eternal Rock of Ages, we worship you. The great I am, we surrender to you. We surrender our will. We surrender, Father, to your purpose. Have your way, Lord. Holy Spirit, welcome. We set aside every mind. We set aside every need. We set aside every pain and every hurt. We set aside every distraction and we say, Father, have your way. Holy Spirit, be exalted in our midst. Be magnified in this gathering. Let your will be done. We need only a word from you. We need only you to speak, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Every protocol set aside. The topic before us today is lest we forget. I'm not talking about Remembrance Day. But the Bible text is taken from the book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 verse 28. I remember when Bramwe was talking about, was praying, and he was talking about the nations, and he was talking about a lot is happening amongst the nations, that people are, you know, there are wars, there are rumors of wars. These are things that the Lord has told us. But when we go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And sometimes we wonder what that means. Lest we forget what the Lord has told us. He said we should go into the world and make disciples of every nation, every tribe and every tongue, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. That has never been in contention. The challenge is, how many of us have gone? But another verse, this particular verse, when he says, teaching them, I will tell you that I think it's the problem we have in the world. Teaching them to observe, not only to know, but to observe. And to observe means to do, to obey, and to know. The acronym I have for that is DOK, D-O-K. To do, to obey, and to know. It says to teaching them to observe everything I have told you. And so we should ask ourselves, what has he told us? Because it seems as if, as Christians, most of us have forgotten what he told us. We have forgotten. We have been so wrapped up in this world. We have been so wrapped up in the agenda of men. We have so been so absorbed with our own ambition that we have forgotten everything he taught us. No wonder in the book of Acts chapter 1, if you go to Acts chapter 1, you see Luke writing there. He said, in the first book, O Theophilus, I remember to tell, I'm paraphrasing, I remember to tell you all that Jesus did. If technical can help us with Acts chapter 1, all that Jesus did and he told us. All that the Apostle Paul, what they were emphasizing was on what Jesus did, what he told us. And that's why when they were electing the deacons, they said we cannot leave the teaching of the word, the serving of tables. But a lot of us as Christians, we've forgotten what Jesus commanded us to do. So what the task ahead of us, Christians, I'm talking to us as in, I'm not exempting myself, is that we need to go back to what he told us. We need to go back to what he commanded us, because we are forgotten. That is why you will have Christians come to church with a gun. Is it that the arm of God is too short that he cannot save? We have Christians fighting, taking themselves to court. So let's go back. Maybe we need, you know, a refresher course. I cannot go through everything that Jesus Christ told us, because they are written in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are over 500 of them. But I've maybe summarized them. The first thing I want to trigger off is, he says, you must be born again. You must be born again. He says, repent and be saved. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about what Jesus Christ told us. He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions there. If it were not so, I would not have told you so. But we live in a world where we are also occupied, backstabbing one another, doing things we should not do in the body of Christ, because we want to inherit the world. A lot of us are so, our desire is to inherit this world at the expense of our soul. He says, repent and be saved. The next thing he told us is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Do we really love the Lord our God? Do we really? Let's ask ourselves. If we want to see the change that we desire in this world, it starts with us as Christians. When we have Christians cheating in examinations, when we have Christians cheating in their tax forms, when we have Christians doing, having extramarital affairs, is that the church that Jesus died? Lest we forget, brethren. He says, teaching them all things I have taught you. Why he's saying that is that a lot of messages we hear is about feeling good. It's not about feeling good. It's about what Jesus Christ taught us. It's about us living our lives, caring about our brother and our sister. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then he says, if you love me, you would obey me. If you love me, you would obey me. Jesus Christ talking to us. He says, you cannot serve two masters. It is not possible for you to serve two masters. And sometimes we think we can play it. We underestimate what the enemy has done to us. We trivialize it. We take his mercy for granted. I'm also guilty of this. He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That is Apostle Paul building on what Jesus Christ taught us. Do not take his grace for granted. He says, you cannot serve two masters. It is not possible for you to serve God and serve mammon. This thing called money has wrecked a lot of lives. There was a documentary I saw about people that won the lottery and how they all ended up. Time will not permit us to share that documentary. A lot of them ended up being worse than they did. And this is what you and I are running from. A lot of us are not in church. We don't come for service. We have every excuse in the book for fellowship. We call for prayer meetings in the morning. This morning I wasn't at the prayer meeting. I'll tell you the truth. They make it so convenient for us to come, yet we will not come. He says there, one of the things he just taught us about was, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Remember the Good Samaritan. It is not our wearing the cassock. It is not our wearing a title. It is your love to your neighbor. Your neighbor is not, because I call myself Christian, then that means I'm your neighbor. The Hindu on the street, the Muslim, the stranger, those that do not know God, they are your neighbors. He says you should love them as you love yourself. A lot of us during Christmas exchange gifts amongst ourselves. But did we give those that we don't know, or those that do not know us? This was what Jesus Christ told all of us. I'm equally guilty. So these are things that, we need to start doing. He says, do not do anything out of selfish ambition. A lot of us, even when we want promotion at work, We backstab our colleagues because they said you can only promote one person and there are three of you. Then it becomes, what comes with relying on God? For business deals, a lot of Christians are in politics. Yes, we don't see the difference. They have, you know, we have excused ourselves that if you can't beat them, then join them. We give bribes. We take bribes. There's fornication. Jesus Christ told us, he said, teach them everything I have commanded you. So if we are not teaching this, then we cannot be disciples of Christ. He says, one of the things Jesus Christ told us is, love your enemies. I was sharing with the children in my class last week. I said, well, if you see it, please share with me. I have not yet seen, and neither have I done it, where somebody will slap me on the right, and I will turn my left. Please, I don't know, anybody in church, I don't know whether, where somebody will slap you on the right. Before you pray, you first of all slap back, then you say, God, have mercy. But Jesus Christ told us, he says, when they slap you on the right, he said, he that has taken your shirt, give him also your coat. See, somebody stole my shoe. One leg of the shoe. That means it's useless for both of us. We are cursing, raining curses at them. I went to the airport. When I came back, I couldn't find my suitcase. That God, let thunder fire them. That is Christianity. The same Jesus Christ that said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. What has happened to us, church? We are praying for the revival. This is the revival. The Lord is asking you and I to change our ways. When Jesus Christ says, love your enemies, he continued, he said, pray for those that persecute you. He did not say, pray that they will die. He did not say that. The kind of prayer he said you should pray is a prayer to have a tender heart towards reacting towards them. Some people, you will not return their calls. I remember, but I think it was Ramuiwa that was preaching on Thursday when he said, when they mention their names, you know, the kind of hatred, you call it, we excuse ourselves and say it's only anger. It is not only anger, it's from the pit of hell. Because Jesus Christ taught us to forgive those that offend us. Have we really forgiven? They were called martyrs because they followed after Christ and they were persecuted and died for Christ. Such was the case of Stephen. That when he was being stoned to death, the Bible records that he looked up and prayed the same prayer that Jesus Christ prayed, that Lord, forgive them. We sing that song, Amen, Amen. You know, when you go back to the book of Revelation, it says there, it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies, and they loved not their lives even unto death. Lest we forget. This is what Jesus Christ told us to do. He says we should deny ourselves daily. How many of us have actually denied ourselves? Even in traffic, that is a car. To you understand, even in traffic, we do not deny ourselves. All things are possible to them that believe. But do we die to ourselves? Or we just fainted. And we are so much concerned about my image on social media. Somebody is in pain. Somebody is being attacked. All you can do is bring out a video and be recording. And we call ourselves Christians. And we are posting it online. Meanwhile, the person is suffering. We've become so much cold. And we need the fire of the Holy Spirit to warm us up. We need the Holy Spirit to revive us again. We need the Holy Spirit to quicken us as to the word of God. Because he says, I come very soon. He says, blessed are they that insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. We have changed it to say, do me, I do you. God no go vex. He will vex. He says, because of me. He says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. We do not want our reward in heaven. We want it here on earth. We've excused ourselves to say it's the teacher's reward that is in heaven. No. Some people get their rewards here on earth. But greater is the reward you get in heaven. The crown, the glory is worth it all. Remember Stephen that was stoned. Jesus Christ told us, one of the things he told us was that we should fear the one who can destroy both the body and the soul. A lot of us are afraid of only the ones that can destroy the body. That's why we are not going on evangelism. That's why we are not going. We've become secret service Christians. I will pray for you. I'll pray in secret. But do not, even in our family, some of us, they do not know that we are Christians. When you see, go online and see the rate at which the Lord is moving in Iran. The underground church in Iran. The underground church in China. I remember there was a guy that came from Iran to the U.S. He said when he was coming to U.S., the Lord warned him. I said, be careful when you go to U.S. And he said, it was when he got to U.S. that he understood what the Lord was talking about. That the level of complacency, when they call prayer meetings, he said in Iran, a lot of them, they were underground. But when they call for prayer meeting, if you don't get there on time, you won't get a seat. Yeah, we will plead. We will beg. They will give tea. They will give chocolates. And yet people will not come. John the Baptist was talking. He said, who has warned you from the wrath to come? Do not say that we have Abraham as our father. He said, for we know that God is able to raise up sons from this. Because a lot of people hide under the guise that, you know, Abraham is our father. Under their religious belief that we are sons of Abraham. But that is not enough. It is Jesus Christ that gave his life. I've never seen a God in all my, I'm not saying I've researched everything, that died for his creation. Because we cannot do it all, he died for us. And yet we are living in fear. Yet you and I are living in fear. We have compromised our faith. One of the things he also told us, lest we forget, is that God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Are we living in the spirit? Is your spirit man alive? Are we sensitive to the things of the spirit? Do we ask God before we take a decision? Do we ask for his will before we make a decision? Before we make a promise? Before you go into that contract, do we ask for the leading of the Lord? Are we honest to ourselves? These are some of the things that fell apart. That's why we have the problem that we are having. That's why we have politicians that call themselves Christians and do not know that one day they will stand before God and give an account of their service. One day they will, when everyone will be looking, you think, has anybody ever gotten a driving ticket that you had to go to the courts to defend? Anybody in this church? I know I have done. Thank you for being honest. Your case, you know, they will just call your name and your number, and then they will say in front of everybody, there's no hiding. You say, this judge, don't you know, expose me now. Jesus. They will tell whether you were talking over the phone or you were, you know, it was a speech fine. They will say everything. And so will it be on that day. All eyes will see. There will be no hiding place. He says, fear not. He that is able to not only kill the soul, but is also to kill the body. Fear him. Fear the Lord our God. Then he says there, he says, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. A lot of us are afraid. We are afraid of the future. It's not new, let me tell you the truth. When I read the Bible, I saw that it's not new. Abraham was afraid. That's why he told Sarah to lie, that she's my wife. He said, they will kill me because you are beautiful. Jacob and Esau. Jacob was afraid of Esau. When he saw Esau coming, he sent, you know, he broke his family into pieces. He says, if he kills this one will escape, that one will, you know. A lot of us have strategies. It's a common thing. You understand? We are afraid of the future. We are afraid of diseases. We are afraid of famine. We are afraid of uncertainty. We are afraid for our children. Some of us are afraid of going out. But the Bible tells us that fear not. Fear not and ask the Lord for help. Ask the Lord to overcome that spirit of fear. Some of us are afraid of diseases. But you and I, we have to get to that place where we rely on God and say, God, my life is in your hands. I did nothing before I came. You know my ways. There's nothing hidden. My body is with you. He has given us a word. He says in Psalm 107 verse 20, he said he sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their disease. He says, which one of us by worrying can add a day to our life? Rather, we add to our high blood pressure. It brings diseases, it brings stress. Stress leads to a lot of things. And some of us are worrying with the effect of our worrying because it has not solved the problem. Men ought always to pray. You have challenges with your spouse? Pray. You have challenges at work? Pray. You have challenges at with your children? Pray. Help challenges, pray. That is what the Lord has told us to tell you. He says, teaching them everything I have commanded you. He says, don't be anxious about anything. He says, sufficient for the day is the trouble thereof. A lot of us are concerned about the future. The interest rate has gone up. How am I going to pay? He says, oh, ye of little faith. You know, it's so interesting that Jesus Christ, when he's talking, he says things like, you have heard it said. Like, you know it. It has been said in the Old Testament. He now puts a but there. He says, but I tell you. That means to reassure you that, yes, the law is there. But the greater one than the law is with you. That you, in this world, he says, in this world, you will have tribulations. In this world, you will have challenges. But he tells you and I, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So why are we so afraid? Why are we so anxious, church? Why are we so anxious as Christians? Why do we allow the enemy to put us in a corner? The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Be encouraged, my brethren. Be of good cheer. The Lord, everything that you are going through, he says, even the very hair on your head, he says, they are numbered of God. That is how much God cares about you. He says, the sparrows, two of them, they are not sold for a penny. He says, yeah, the Lord cares for them. You know the one that beats me? When the Lord was casting out demons from that demoniac, you remember that story in the Bible? The devils asked him that he should send them somewhere. And he sent them where they said they wanted to go to. I'm like, yeah, devils. If they had tried asking today's Christian, they would have tormented them. But the Lord, if he can answer devils, and he sent them where they said, how much more you that were created in his image and in his likeness? How much more you and I that he loved so much that he died for? How much more you and I that Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the ultimate price? And you know the other interesting thing? He said, everything I have told you. What he was saying was not before he died. Was after. That means you also need to tell everyone, which I am telling you, that he also said it is finished. It is finished. Every situation, every circumstance, every pain, they have an expiration date. Because Jesus Christ said, it is finished. But if you don't tell that situation that it is finished, and you live under that torment, I don't know whether it's only me that, you know, there are some things that the Bible says even before you pray, he answers you. There was nothing you and I did. Anyway, let's be sure of that. There was nothing you and I did that assured us that we will see today. Do we agree? It is only by his mercies. Apostle Paul was writing. He says, the things I do not want to do, I do them. And the third which I want to do, I do not do them. The Lord has loved you and I so much that he has shown his compassion. That I love you more than this, my children. Lest we forget that the love of God, he gave his only son. He said we should settle quarrels before we go to court. I'm just reminding you, you know, there's much more. He said we should settle quarrels. I don't know who that brother is. Your senior brother, your younger brother, your sister. Call them and forgive. It's not worth it. After you, in this world, you have gone through all this. I remember, I think it was Sister Bola that preached that message. That after you have suffered all of this, going for prayer meetings, going to church, even in this weather, you don't want the Lord to say on that day, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Just because of somebody that you did not forgive. Is it worth it? These are some of the things that the enemy is using to cheat us of our birthright. You know, when you know your rights, when you know whether there's a will, and they tell you that your uncle or your that passed on willed you a property. The next thing you ask them, you say, so how do I take, pastor is a lawyer, how do I take possession of this property? What do I need to do? This is what Jesus Christ is telling us. He has told you everything he has done. And he's now telling you to take possession of it. You need to walk in these ways. Forgive. Forgive those that offend you. If, like we said, we can pray about it. If you find it difficult, that look, this what this person did to me is painful. What they ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. He knows it hurts. He knows it hurts. That boy that cheated on you, you were engaged to be married. Or that man that left you, or that woman that left you, you were married. Or that person that stole from you. The Lord has not said you should come with, you know, don't excuse them. Because when you look at it, you yourself, you are living under his grace. The Bible says, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. And the same thing happens. Where the law abounds, sin does much more abound. If we go by do's and don'ts, we will never forgive. We will stand on the law. But the greater one than the law gave us mercy. He showed us compassion. He showed me compassion. He showed me his grace. And that is what we need. So he says we should settle quarrels before we go to court. He says, leave your offering at the altar. To show you how important it is, he says, leave your offering at the altar. Go back to your brother and settle that quarrel before you complete the process. These are things that Jesus Christ told us. They are in the Word of God. And he tells us to strive to enter into the narrow gate. He says, broad is the way. You know when you look at movie stars in those days, I don't know, you know, they used to call about that, they were walking on Broadway or Broadwalk. The Lord is telling us that narrow is the way. Many strive to enter. Strive to enter. Strive to enter. You see, he says in John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But he says, except by holiness, no man shall see God. A lot may enter. A lot may enter. But to see God, we need to be holy. We need his grace to live holy. He says, many will say on that day, Lord, 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 we did a lot of things in your name. And he will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Iniquity is not as the world defines it. Let's get that clear. The iniquity is not as the world, as the dictionary or or the meaning you give to it. It is as the word of God gives it. So when the Bible says in 2 Timothy, I think chapter 2, verse 19, it says, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. It is important that if we are going to be Christians and we are going to rule and dominate in this generation, if we are going to be the light of the world, then we need to go back to what Jesus Christ has commanded us, to what Jesus Christ taught us to do. And let us not play lip service to it. I pray that these words will not stand against us in judgment. He says, except your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. If you look at the Pharisees, they keep all the laws. When Jesus Christ was talking to one of them, he says, I keep all the laws. I obey all the Ten Commandments. He says, I tithe of everything. I tithe of everything, of whether it's food or produce or foreign currency. He says, I tithe of everything. Jesus Christ now said, good, you have done well. He said, go and sell your things and give to the poor. And he said, the man went away. And Jesus Christ was telling you and I, he said, except my own and your own righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. Have we turned our eyes to those that are less privileged? Have we ignored the cry of the poor, even in our families? Have we shut our eyes or shut our doors to the homeless? When people have asked us for help, you know, Jesus Christ, in the book of Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews chapter 2, Apostle Paul was writing. He says, be careful in attending to strangers. For some of you have attended to angels unawares. If an angel were to appear to you dressed shabbily, how would you attend to them? I heard of a story of a man that, you know, takes a drive through all this. Some people, part of their dressing is their cup, their coffee cup. I don't want to mention any brand. It's part of the dressing. When they wear their winter jacket and everything, they must hold that cup. Whether it's water that is there, whether it's Coke, whether it's Fanta, they just have that cup. But this guy says I was listening to it on Christian radio. He says every morning on his way to work, his wife picks up coffee. And this particular morning, he was waiting for the wife to go inside the store, pick her coffee and join him back. And this guy came in. He just felt he was a drug addict. And he just ignored him and said, you know what? I'm not going to, invest in that habit, in that lifestyle. So he ignored him and the guy walked away. But he said the guy turned back and he quoted this verse to him, Hebrews chapter 2, I think it's verse 12. He says, be careful in attending to strangers, for some of you have attended to angels unawares. He said he could not believe it. He said he felt like offering the guy all the money he had. You never know the day of your visitation. You never know the time of his coming. I have also been a witness I've shared with people in this church my own experience back from where I come from. To the glory of God, anytime, the people we tag area boys, anytime they come to me on Broad Street, then they, the way they greet you, Alaye, mama, whatever, I don't, even up to now, I actually prefer in giving gift cards to them than giving them cash. But my home country, what I do is I take them to anywhere they are selling food around. I look for somebody selling food, and I tell them, what do you want to eat? Okay, serve them, give them drink, and then if it's in the afternoon, I'll tell them, okay, you come in the evening again. This woman will serve you. And I do that to the glory of God, as God gives me the opportunity. And this particular day, I was by, you know what they call Akombo Bridge. And all of a sudden, my car stopped. Whether somebody pulled the fuel pump, I do not know. And a lot of them, it was late in the night. I was working in Victoria Island. And late in the night, you know, a lot of them crowded my car. And I was like, God, I was just praying inside the car. And they're like, open, you know, the way they harass you. And then all of a sudden, from nowhere, up to, you know, there are so many things we'll find out when Jesus Christ comes. That's one of the things I have on my list. There was this loud voice from nowhere and said, leave her alone. And all of them scattered. I don't know whether it was the Baba of the, you know. He said, leave her alone. That was just those three words. And they all disappeared. He said, open your bonnet. I opened the bonnet. He fixed the car. He said, kick it. He said, okay, go. Some of us have attended to strangers, and we have attended to angels. As we leave the church today, please, let us not remain the same. Let us make calls. Let us heal wounds. Let us remember everything that the Lord told us. There's still more. I could go on and on. But the Lord has asked me today is teaching them to observe whatever God has told us to observe, to do, to obey, and to know. Do not lay up for yourself treasures here on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. He says, where moth does not destroy, where thieves do not steal. A lot of us are so concerned about this world. A lot of us, we need to set our priorities right. The Lord is telling you and I that our yes be yes and our no be no. He's telling us to keep to our marriage vows. God, the Lord, is a witness. He says, render to Caesar what is Caesar and to the Lord what is the Lord. And he says to all, every one of us, do not let any of these little ones, do not let them sin. When he says the little ones, most of us think that he's talking about only the children. We are all children before God. Do not cause your brother to stumble. Do not cause anyone to stumble. Do not let anyone curse God because of what you and I have done. Do not anyone say, and she says she's a Christian. And they say they are Christians. Then he says, make disciples of every nation. In closing, I have only 5 minutes left. I'll read the latter part of that verse. He says, I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He is with you. He is with you, even to the ends of the world. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you. Eternal Rock of Ages, we worship you. You have spoken, and we have heard. We pray for the grace to obey. We pray for the strength to do your will. Is there anyone in our midst that has not given their lives to Christ? With all eyes closed, please, let your hands be raised up. Is there anyone that has not acknowledged Jesus before God and before men? One of the things that Jesus Christ said, he says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my heavenly Father in heaven. This is a time for sober reflection. Let us look at our lives. Is there anyone that has given their lives and you have slipped away? The Bible talks, Jesus Christ was talking about a parable. He said the farmer, he sowed, seeds. He said, but at night, the enemy came and sowed tares. The enemy came, sowed tares, and went away. Has any one of us backslidden? If you know you have backslidden, please raise up your hand. It's not to me. We're going to pray and ask God to reconcile us back to his cross. Now, Father, do not let this word stand against us in judgment. Anywhere we have fallen short, everywhere we have fallen short, everywhere we have forsaken your ways, anything that we have taken for granted, any of your instruction that you have instructed us, we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, please help us. That we will not forget what you have told us. Father, even as Jesus Christ said that he is with us always, is there anyone hurting in our midst? We pray for healing. Is there anyone disappointed? We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you renew their hope. Is there anyone that is depressed? We pray, Father, Lord, you will restore. Is there anyone sick in our midst? We pray your healing power. We stand in the gap on behalf of our families and our loved ones. We pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, let your word, let it bring forth healing. Father, liberate those who are in captivity. Those who are in captivity to drugs, to alcohol, to prostitution. Those who are in captivity, oh Father, Lord, to any form of vice. Those who are in captivity, oh Father, Lord, to any form of perversion. We pray, Father, for liberation. We stand in the gap and we pray, Lord, your mercy upon our generation. Let us not take your grace for granted. And let his words not stand against us in judgment. Be exalted, O God. Renew our faith in you. As you prayed for Peter, Jesus, you said, though the enemy has required to sift him like wheat, but that you have prayed for him that his faith fail not. We pray that, Father, our faith will not fail. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from every evil. We commit the weeks, the months, the years ahead of us into your hands. Jesus Christ, please hold us by the hand. Hold us in this walk. In this narrow path, hold us, Lord. Let us not fall. Let us not fail. Let us not look back. We remember Lot's wife, O Lord. We will not look back. Having put our hands on the plow, we will not look back. Father, we bless you. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That clap offering was not enough for my Most High God, the Almighty God, the Ancient of the Days, the glory and the lifter of our head. The bright and morning star. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word that has gone forth, a word in due season. Lest we forget, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded you. That's a word in due season. And I hope we will all go back and think about today's message. I'd like us to stretch our hands forth to Pastor Yinka Egube. That even as she has given us a word in due season, the Lord will increase her, the Lord will uplift her, the Lord will uphold her, the Lord will renew her strength in the name of Jesus.